May these be to the glory of God. I wonder, are you looking for anything? Did you have to go back in the house this morning? Did you forget your keys? Your wallet? Your driver's license? Anything? Your checkbook? Did you forget your health and your sanity? Did you forget your faith? As a matter of fact, I've been looking for all those things. I regularly lose my keys. My son always, I'll leave and say, bye, see you later. And then I come back in the house and he's often holding the door open for me, knowing I will come back. Sometimes we actually can find those things we're looking for. Sometimes. But never do I find only one thing when I'm in the middle of a whirlwind, for I have lost everything. I can't find anything. I can't find my license. I can't find my purse. I can't find my keys, and I can't find my faith. It's a gathering storm of problems. And, of course, these are the little problems, except the faith part. As these problems collect themselves, I get swept up and it all becomes one gigantic collection of insurmountable problems that all have to be figured out now. When this happens, and it doesn't just happen to me, when this happens, the first thing we need to do is calm down. Calm down enough to unpack this tsunami that has absorbed us. We need to calm the waters before we can even begin to guess at what it is we need to do first. I had a friend once, well, he's still a friend, who said that we put our problems up like a brick wall. They go up one problem, one brick at a time. And depending on your proclivity for self-assessment, it takes a while for us to recognize that sometimes we're building a wall we don't want. We need to stop building for a while. Take stock of what we've built. Take time. When sanity has emerged and it's time to change this wall that might not be serving you anymore, for actually you have another thing you have to do, and that is take each brick off one brick at a time, because that's how they went on. My friend said, well, Blair, if you want to completely change and you want the wall to completely come down, you'll be buried in old bricks. Right. They went on one brick at a time, he said. They need to come off one brick at a time. When there is a pile of things that we need to find, or we think we need to be, or we think we have to see, and we get all wrapped up and think we have to do all of this at once, it's impossible to think you'll really survive it all. It's too much. It's way, way too much. And I could hardly be worth that kind of relief. Now, could I? When this whirlwind gets started, we go pretty quickly to, I'm not sure I'm worthy. Can I do this? I mean, if I was worthy, this stuff wouldn't have happened in the first place. Our centurion in the scripture reading is getting desperate. Some of the versions say that the centurion's attendant was a slave. I like the centurion's person that they're trying to heal is an attendant. He's helping the centurion. And this centurion is getting desperate. He'll do anything. He'll even go to the Jewish people who he likes and who he's helped to try and get this man named Jesus to heal his attendant. I don't know about you, but I wonder how often we hear people telling us a sad story. You know the one. Well, I had a car accident, and then I lost my cat, and then I don't have any money in my checking account. The stories, the bad news, we pile one on top of another, just like that brick wall, and it seems insurmountable. We walk the floor, and when all else fails, if we're smart, we go to church or we phone a friend. This is a truth that I have learned along the way. And I know that's hard to hear, but it's actually the slogging through the list. Slogging through the list of seemingly unsolvable things that helps us find a way. We dig down deep and we come up not with the complete answers to complicated situations, but we come up with a way to cope in the moment. We cope just a little better than we did last time everything hit the proverbial fan. Our centurion in today's scripture was in a quandary. By all accounts, this man was a good person. He'd helped others who were not of his clan. He helped others who were not like him, others who were outside of him, and they'd grown to appreciate him. But no matter how powerful or well-respected he was, this man had a problem he couldn't solve himself. He had an employee that was probably very good at his job, who was indentured to him, paying off what it might have cost him to be purchased. But the centurion liked this man very much, and he was very worried because he'd become close to this man. They were friends. And this attendant, this person, needed help, needed healing. I suspect the centurion had already advocated for his employee every way he could think of, but at the end of the day, this very wealthy, very powerful man realized that he was out of choices. The only place he could think of to go for real help was to Jesus. This man was Roman. He was a pagan. He was not one of Jesus' flock. He was not a Jew. And yet, this centurion knew where he could get help. I think he'd had what some call a come-to-Jesus moment. But no matter how much this centurion knew that Jesus was the one that could help, he didn't know how to ask. On a good day, we say we might be doing what we do in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ, who has called us to be more than we can be. Sometimes it is the little things that make a huge difference in how we're able to help others in this world and how they are able to help us. On a bad day, when instant karma comes to get you, seemingly for no good reason, or when the deluge inside you starts up with such force, you, like the centurion, think there's no way out. Start small. Start with intention. Start with faith that you can solve this problem, you can make it better, and you can do it when you ask Jesus. I have a friend who's Baha'i. In the Baha'i faith, they have what they call the greatest name prayer. And the greatest name prayer goes like this. Increase my astonishment in thee, O Lord. That's it. My friend's father was dying, and he had that kind of difficult death where he was very angry and nothing was working for him. Her daughter has cancer, and she needed to be with her. She called all of her friends and said, we need to ratchet up the greatest name. So about eight of us started saying, increase my astonishment in thee, O Lord. And her father died. She was able to go be with her daughter. And all of us who said that prayer were like, okay, well, alrighty then. Increase my astonishment in thee, O Lord. Her father died and was, as she said to me later, he was with love. He is now with love, and the pain is gone. Increase my astonishment in thee, O Lord. It's a little prayer. I think you can remember it. When we start to embark on any kind of change, we have to begin step by step. We never can jump in the middle. It's like jumping in the middle of a class, thinking you can get an A on the tests. This means we have to take one brick off at a time and clean it up and look at it and see if it really does belong on this wall of ours. And of course, this has nothing to do with these other walls that people are talking about today. It has to do with the wall we've built or someone else has built for us that we've woken up and said, wait a minute, I'm uncomfortable. This needs to change. It takes great intention. We need to take great care. Great care. And we do this with confidence. We know that every little bit counts. Every prayer said, every cup of coffee poured for another, every hand held, every demon we deal with. It begins to slow down the whirlwind. Our brain kicks in for help. Our faith kicks in for help. And we recognize that things have slowed down now to a manageable place. We can't find the new house, the new job, take care of the kids, make the dress, make the cake, be the best mother in the world. Nope, we can't do that all at once. That's not possible. Got to pick it. Okay, I guess I could make the cake. That's what I could do in this list of things I think I need to be. We deal with the fear. We deal with the memory of the past. And we also know we have more inside of us now. And in some little small way, yes, we are healed. Now, it's not like the story in Scripture where the healing is very dramatic and happens off stage, off sight. But it happens because Jesus says to his people, look at the faith of this man who is not a Jew. He is not a Christian. He is instead a Roman. He is a pagan. He does not believe in our one God. So as we deal with these things, we change who we are. There will be more bricks to deal with. Maybe bricks somebody else puts on our wall that we don't want. But you have the power to take care of these things that get you. You can do it one step, one breath, one moment at a time. One intention, one prayer. Take the change slowly and recognize where you've come. That really gives us great joy. In a magazine that I try to read regularly the Christian Century, and I would recommend it if you're interested. They always talk about little things. They have little jokes, like this one is about a wall being built in heaven. And it says, St. Peter says to the person who's arrived, the best part of this wall is that we got hell to pay for it. But the thing that fits with what I'm talking about here is, and I talked about this a few weeks ago at, when Daniel Berrigan died. This is another Daniel Berrigan quote. The good is to be done because it's good, not because it goes somewhere. I believe if it's done in that spirit, it will go somewhere, but I don't know where. I have never been too seriously interested in the outcome. And it is in the moment, in the presence, where we experience joy. Joy isn't at the end of the road. It isn't something that is a great big exciting thing. Joy is in the little moments. The little moments. It's in the midst of the work of our lives. You can have joy in the midst of trouble. You can have building up and tearing down and changing, and then joy emerges, not at the end, but in the present, in the moment. Joy is always available. Each time you and I accomplish some small or large thing, in each small, seemingly infinitesimal step, each little bitty accomplishment, we're using all we have to make this glorious, messy life better than it was the day before. On hearing this, Jesus was amazed. For even Jesus, who is going deep, who has faith in us every time, Jesus is still amazed at us. Amazed as we are amazed. Jesus is amazed each time we take that brick of our life that we don't like, that's not serving us, when we take it off and we examine it and we might put on a different brick. Amazed. Amazed is the word Jesus used. Jesus was amazed. Amazed at the word and the people. Amazed that the community together have the power to heal. Not at the end of the year or the end of the day, but moment to moment. This growth comes in the tiny places, not in a big swoosh. It is that active faith working, faith in ourselves, faith in our abilities to grow and change, and we are amazed. Each one of us can look back at something that happened recently and know we've come beyond it. We made a decision. We figured out how to solve it. Or we called a friend, or we came to church, or we picked up scripture. This loving spirit of Christ who is watching us, who's picking us up, who's encouraging us, is also amazed at us, at each one of you. For as it says in Acts 17, for in him we live and move and have our being. If that is the case, we belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to us. And how could anything in our life be anything more than amazing? Amen and amen.